Station. It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Happy Sunday to everybody out there listening. It is October. You know what that means. Playoff baseball is in the air. NFL football all day, every Sunday. College football in the midst of a hectic season. NBA basketball right around the corner. One of the most exciting times of year. Just exhilarating sports everywhere you look, every channel you flip to. There's always something new to talk about and always new hottest headlines to be broken for you right here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks every Sunday morning. Today at 10 a.m. as we've got Buffalo Bills pregame coming up at 11 right here on the station. So don't go anywhere after the show. But as I mentioned, one of the most exciting times of year with no shortage of topics to talk about. Thank you for tuning in. As I said, I'm Vinny Fredericks, your host for this 10 a.m. edition of the Hot Seat. And we've got a great lineup set for you today. As I mentioned, MLB playoffs in full swing started Tuesday night. An absolute exhilarating week of games just coming down to the wire all across the board. We'll tell you the results of the wild card rounds and the first couple games of the division series, which just started off last night. The NFL week five schedule. Already some games going on, as we do have the London series, Jets versus Vikings. They kicked off just shortly ago as well. Hopefully good news for you Jets fans, as the Vikings are no tough matchup, or no easy matchup, I should say. 4-0 on the season, just defeated the Green Bay Packers, a team that they have not been able to beat in a long time. And of course, later on in the show, we'll get you the hottest headlines of the week. Today, it's a lot of college football, as if you were watching last night, upset after upset after upset, a wild Saturday when it comes to college football. And we'll dive into some fantasy at the end of the hour, as I'll let you know, did I finally get that ever elusive first win of my fantasy season? Stay tuned, because the news that I have in store for this fantasy segment might surprise you. But we'll start things off the way we always do here on the Hot Seat. We always talk baseball starting out, as that is probably the biggest thing going on right now. Playoffs just started. Before we get into that, we'll stick local for a quick second here, as the UAlbany Great Danes ended a three-game skid yesterday at Cornell, as they, as I said, lost three straight after beating Northern Long Island, I should say, LIU, to start the season. Three straight losses after that. And then finally, get themselves a win 31-10 over the Cornell Big Red. And what was, while the scoreboard might say big victory, this was a tight one. You know, this game was not decided until a couple minutes to go in the fourth, as Miles Burkett able to get a deep touchdown to Jakari Carter, 52 yards through the air early in the third quarter. It was Faisal Aden capping off the scoring with an 84-yard run in the last couple minutes there to really put the game on ice for the Great Danes. And this was only a 7-6 game in favor of the Big Red going into halftime here, as UAlbany multiple chances to get in the end zone on first and goal, unable to get it done. There was some QB sneaks in there that got stuffed, missed field goals here and there, and the offense unable to find ways to get points on the board in the first half. They figured it out in the second half. As I mentioned, 31-10, the final. UAlbany gets a much needed victory. They moved to 2-3 on the season, 1-2 in the CAA conference. As, like I said, much needed victory. Lost three straight going into this one. And coming up this Saturday, they will be at Bryant for another road game, 1 o'clock kickoff. You can hear that right here on 104.5 The Team, where Roger Weiland, Michael Johnson Jr. will be doing the play-by-play. I will be here in the studio pushing all the right buttons, making sure they sound good on air for you guys in what should be another great matchup for the UAlbany Great Danes. Bryant currently 2-3 on the season, just like UAlbany, 0-1 in conference play. So it should be a good matchup over at Barron Stadium at Bryant. All right. We got the U Albany Great Danes out of the way. Let's move on to the MLB playoffs, which started Tuesday night. One of the best times of the year. You can turn on the TV any time of day, and there will be baseball on four straight games Tuesday and Wednesday. It was the Detroit Tigers, who pretty much played Superman to almost every Major League Baseball fan, except for the Houston Astros, as they swept Houston, who has been to, I think, seven straight ALCSs going into this season. So since 2017, they've made the ALCS every season, not this year, as the Detroit Tigers, led by Tarik Skubal, with a great game one, their ace on the mound. You know that's going to be a tough matchup. And then it was AJ Hinch who said after Skubal, it was going to be pitching chaos. And pitching chaos was what got the job done. It was a bullpen game for the Tigers in that game two. And they're able to get the victory. 5-2 the final after a huge comeback eighth inning, top of the eighth against Josh Hader and Ryan Pressly. Able to knock four runs in, take the lead. And they're able to hold on for the victory. As let's see, the Tigers in this game used seven different pitchers. Yeah, seven different pitchers. Nobody threw more than an inning and two thirds, but all you need is 27 outs, and the Tigers got that at Houston as they will get the sweep and eliminate one of the biggest threats, I would say, to all these American League teams. And speaking of eliminating threats, Kansas City Royals, same situation. Sweep the Baltimore Orioles 2-0 in Baltimore to advance to the ALDS, where they are taking on the New York Yankees, as that series just started last night. We'll dive into that in just a moment here. But first, San Diego Padres sweep the Atlanta Braves, who were obviously kind of hobbled coming into this postseason. No Acuna, no Austin Riley, no Spencer Strider. Of course, not the best expectations for the Atlanta Braves, but they're still able to punch their ticket to October, unfortunately come up short against San Diego, who is now taking on the LA Dodgers. But how about those Mets, baby? The New York Mets were the only team to have their wild card series go all the way to three. So they were the only game on Thursday night. And you thought, if you were watching this game, you thought it was over. By the way the Mets dugout looked, they seemed demoralized, down 2-0, top of the ninth. Down to the last two outs, Devin Williams, one of the better closers in the league, on the mound. And but who else to step up to the plate with two runners on, down by two, than Pete Alonso with a huge home run to right field, top of the ninth inning, to put the Mets up 3-2, as they then were able to rally in another run and take the win against Milwaukee 4-2. So the Mets, two outs away from ending their season, Pete Alonso comes up clutch, gets the big three-run home run, and now, all of a sudden, they find themselves taking on the Philadelphia Phillies, the winners of the National League East Division. And what do you know? Just yesterday, NLDS, ALDS, all the division series underway starting yesterday, and the New York Mets bounce out to a quick 1-0 lead in the series, taking down the Phillies 6-2. It was, unfortunately for our local crew here, it was Jeff Hoffman, the Shaker graduate. Not a great day to be a Blue Bison, as he was the one who came on after Zach Wheeler pitched seven shutout innings, only allowed one hit, nine strikeouts on 111 pitches. Then Jeff Hoffman came in the eighth, which saw the New York Mets plate five different runners. And from there, it was just about all over. Put another run on the board in the top of the ninth, and one run for the Phillies in the bottom half of the ninth. Not even close to scraping their way back in this one. The Mets get the victory 6-2 and find themselves in a prime position here to take down the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, if you can beat the Phillies in game one with Zach Wheeler on the mound, sure, there's some other good pitchers in the Phillies roster here, but if you can beat Zach Wheeler, you can beat just about anybody. You know, sure, there's Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez are going to be very tough matchups. You'll probably maybe lose one of those two games, but you got the big dog out of the way. You got Zach Wheeler out of the game after the seventh inning, which is exactly what you needed to do. All you need is to run up that pitch count and try to attack the bullpen. And Jeff Hoffman was having a great season, all-star this year, sub-3 ERA, not an easy matchup by any means. But the Mets able to get it done against the Phillies, and they see themselves in a very good position to take down Philadelphia in this NLDS. And who knows, might be an NLCS future for the Mets fans, as I know everybody who has been rooting for the Mets, they start off the season 0-5, and to be here now, it's been a hell of a journey for the New York Mets. So meet the Mets. Great game one for them as they see themselves, as I said, prime position to try to steal a series away from the Philadelphia Phillies. Cleveland Guardians jump out to a quick series lead over the Detroit Tigers, winning game one yesterday 7-0. That one was over early on, as in the first inning, Cleveland was able to plate 5 runs, add another 2 in the bottom of the 6th as the Tigers shut out, only 4 hits on the day. And it was just a rough outing for Detroit all around. You had an error thrown in there, unable to get the job done with runners on base, as the team went 0-5 in that aspect. And Cleveland, everybody forgot about Cleveland. They're still looking like a solid team in the American League. Could be a very good chance that we see them in the American League Conference Series. Back over to the National League here, Padres and Dodgers in a real back-and-forth one. Dodgers take home the victory 7-5 as Shohei Ohtani got the scoring out early with a 3-run home run to tie the game in the bottom of the 2nd. And from there, it was back in the Padres' favor as Xander Bogaerts played a 2 on a double. And after that, it was all Dodgers as Tommy Edmond scored on a wild pitch. Teoscar Hernandez with an RBI single. Tommy Edman again grounding into a double play, but is still able to plate a run despite hitting into the double play. As the LA Dodgers, who we already knew coming into this postseason were going to be heavy favorites with the amount of talent on that roster and the likes of Shohei, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, they found themselves in a tough spot, down a couple times in this game, able to rally and play resilient. And now they see themselves up 1-0 on the Padres. And who doesn't love October baseball? Because you have games like that. And then you have games like the New York Yankees and the Kansas City Royals. Another back and forth matchup. I think there was 5 different lead changes in this one, if I remember right. New York Yankees get the victory after Alex Verdugo, of all people, is able to plate Jazz Chisholm in the bottom half of the 7th. To take the lead 6-5, as like I mentioned, 5 different lead changes in this one. Clay Holmes with the win for an inning 2/3. Michael Lorenzen gets the loss. And Luke Weaver, who just kind of found himself in this closer role for the Yankees, sees himself with his first postseason save, the first 4-out save by a New York Yankee in the postseason since Aroldis Chapman. So the New York Yankees get it done. In what was, I would call, an okay game, you'll take 6 runs any day of the week, but the offense could have been better. Gleyber Torres had a great 2-run home run to opposite field to start the scoring for them as they were down 1-0, go up 2-1. MJ Melendez then had a 2-run home run to put the Royals back up 3-2. And from there, it was back and forth. It was 5-4 Royals, 6-5 Yankees. Back and forth game all over the place. But the New York Yankees able to get it done. I tell you what, one thing that they need to figure out, or one person who needs to figure it out, is of course their captain, Aaron Judge. We've known about his struggles in the postseason coming into this year. Last night, he went 0-4 with 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. On the plus side, though, Juan Soto had a solid game, 3-5 with a double and 2 singles. But this could have been a much bigger win for the Yankees. They had plenty of opportunities. You had runners on 2nd and 3rd in the first inning, no outs, unable to play any. Then you have multiple positions where you have bases loaded and no outs later on in this game, and you're only able to play 2 runs, 1 off a single, which then gives you bases loaded with no outs again. And then after a pop out to the catcher by Stanton and a weak ground out by Jazz Chisholm, luckily Anthony Volpe is able to have a great at bat and draw an RBI walk. But that's the only runs you're able to get out of bases loaded and no outs. You got to do better at this point in the season. You can't be in situations like that and let teams stay in the game. If you get a bases clearing double or even somehow a grand slam, this game is busted wide open. The Royals are probably thinking, all right, move on to the next one, and they're throwing in the towel. Instead, you struggle to get a couple runs across the board, and you find yourself in a situation where Luke Weaver, who has never made a save in the postseason before, he's new to all this, you're throwing him out there with a one-run lead against the top of the Royals order, two-thirds of that being Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. Not an easy matchup. So you got to put your closers and your pitchers in better positions. The bats need to start rolling. And yes, you'll take six runs. It was a good outing, but it had the potential to be broken open at many points and had the potential to be a much bigger victory for the Yankees. But this might be a little nitpicky. You know, at the end of the day, they got the victory. That's all that matters. My poor girlfriend who I was on the phone with last night, I get home from work. You know, we're on FaceTime because we both had busy days. And I was like, listen, the Yankees game is about to be over. Give me 20 minutes. All right. Just bear with me. Okay. It's postseason baseball. It's October. I gotta watch the game. You know, this might be the last series that I get to watch the 2024 Yankees. I got to tune in. And it was a great one, as I'm sure she enjoyed watching me jump up and down with excitement after Luke Weaver got the final out of that four-out save, four strikeouts on the day for him. And I cannot wait for this game tomorrow night, as I'll be heading down with a couple buddies of mine, the Ferrises, Mike and Joe. Beyond excited for this one. My first taste of live postseason baseball in the Bronx. Have not had the opportunity to go before, and this is the right time to do it. So hoping for another victory tomorrow night, as the New York Yankees again taking on the Kansas City Royals. Game 2 of the ALDS. You can hear that right here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. And that free 104.5 The Team app. Of course, all the other games going on. Today, we have Mets, Phillies, Padres, Dodgers in the NLDS. Game 2 for both of them. Mets, they will start at 4:08. It's going to be Severino on the mound for the Mets against Christopher Sanchez of the Phillies. So no Aaron Nola and no Ranger Suarez. They're instead going to see Christopher Sanchez, who's 11-9 on the year, 3.32 ERA. So maybe a bit of a favorable matchup for the Mets. If they're able to get to Sanchez early, force the Phillies to use even more of that bullpen after just playing last night, the Mets could see themselves in a very, very good position here. A team that, coming down the stretch, you didn't know if they were going to make it in. Had that doubleheader in Atlanta just last Monday to force their way into the postseason in another big comeback win. And now they could be just one win away from the NLCS if they can get a win tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies in Philadelphia. And then at 8:03, both these games on FS1, by the way. At 8:03, it'll be Padres at Dodgers. Yu Darvish on the mound for the Padres against Jack Flaherty, the trade deadline acquisition for LA. So it should be great baseball coming up tonight. And as I said, tomorrow, more playoff baseball, ALDS, Tigers Guardians at 4:08 on TBS. And at 7:38, Royals at Yankees. Again, on TBS, True TV, and Max in the Bronx, where I will be screaming my absolute head off. It should be a great time. More of the hot seat coming up next. We've got NFL Sunday. We'll dive through the schedule. We'll take a look at my picks from last week, and I'll tell you my picks for this week, and we'll see how many I can actually get right this time and see if I improve throughout the season, because my picks have not been very accurate so far. Just going to be honest. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't always listen to my takes. More of the hot seat coming up next here with Vinny Fredericks on a Sunday morning here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks from the hot seat here. And if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team. Follow my social media accounts at VFredsMedia, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And we are back here with more of the Hot Seat on this Sunday morning with your host, Vinny Fredericks. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll take a look at the NFL scores and schedule for the day as the New York Jets off to a rough start here in London against the Minnesota Vikings. We'll do a quick score check on them as Aaron Rodgers not looking too sharp out there. Maybe it's the time difference. Maybe it was the flight over. Maybe it was maybe he had some bad fish and chips. I'm not sure, but Aaron Rodgers, two interceptions already in the first half. Vikings up 10-0, 10:55 to go in the second quarter here. As neither team's offense able to get much going, but the Vikings able to get a touchdown off an Aaron Rodgers interception. Andrew Van Ginkle for the Minnesota Vikings with a 63-yard pick six. And then it was Cameron Bynum who had that second interception against Aaron Rodgers. So, listen, still plenty of football left to be played in London here, but for the New York Mets, not off to a great start. And I'm just looking at the box score here. I see Nick Mullins has one passing attempt for 24 yards for the Vikings, wondering maybe if there was a Sam Darnold injury out there or something along those lines, or perhaps they must have ran a trick play, something like that. But, it looks like Nick Mullins even getting some playing time for the Minnesota Vikings. But, like I said, still plenty of football left to be played in that one. But for our Jet fans out there, not a great start. We'll recap quick the scores of last week. As, you know, I made my picks. Of course, my Dallas Cowboys able to beat the New York Giants on Thursday night. But credit to the Giants. They played that game tough. They were in it until the very end, had some great defense on the Cowboys. You know, I was kind of sweating a little bit sitting on my couch. I was nervous. And, you know, the New York Giants have not been able to beat the Cowboys under Dak Prescott in a long time, but they played the Cowboys tough on Thursday night. You can see that the Giants have gotten, you know, that little bit better to be able to compete in some of these games rather than going in and it being an immediate blowout. Malik Nabers, it's very tough losing him to a concussion because he is the real deal. Had 115 yards off 12 receptions in that game. That guy is legit. And if you're the New York Giants, you can't rush him back. Make sure that that kid gets fully healthy before you bring him anywhere close to the football field again, because he's going to be a cornerstone of your offense for a long time coming. As I check Twitter here, it looks like Sam Darnold did go down with an injury on a pass he completed to Aaron Jones. Not sure what the injury was. Looks like might be something to the chest or rib area. But Sam Darnold down for the Vikings and Nick Mullins in the game at quarterback. And some good news, Sam Darnold was able to get up and walk off the field. So we'll see. We'll keep you updated on any changes in the Vikings-Jets game and if Sam Darnold is able to return to the game. Yeah, it looks like it was a hard shot to the ribs for Sam Darnold. And he you know, could have just gotten the wind knocked out of him. Could be a rib injury or something else to the abdomen. We'll keep you locked in here and let you know what ends up happening with Sam Darnold if we get any updates throughout the course of the show. Some of the other big games from last week, Saints-Falcons divisional matchup, Younghoe Koo, with only 2 seconds left in the game, drills a 58-yard field goal to put the Falcons up and secure the victory in Atlanta. Caleb Williams finally starting to find his groove under this Bears offense, leads them to 4 scoring drives as they beat the Rams 24-18. The Vikings, who I was just mentioning, dominating first half against the Green Bay Packers last week. Green Bay, 22 fourth quarter points made it interesting, but Vikings able to hold on 31-29. Bengals get their first win of the season, beating the Panthers 34-24. Broncos, in a tight one, beat the Jets after a missed field goal late. They beat the Jets 10-9 at MetLife. Colts give the Steelers their first loss of the season after a dominating first half. Same story as the Vikings-Packers game, dominating first half. Joe Flacco comes in to relieve the injured Anthony Richardson, and the Colts barely able to hang on 27-24, get that victory. The Cardinals get decimated by the Washington Commanders as Jaden Daniels continues to impress in every aspect of the game, 26 for 30. He's completing about 80% of his passes on the season so far, which is an unreal mark to hit. The Ravens dominate the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. Derrick Henry ran for almost 200 yards. Thank goodness I started him in fantasy this week, as he was a big help for me. Titans get their first win of the season, beating an injured Miami Dolphins team. And speaking of injuries, Will Levis, the quarterback for the Titans, would go down in this one. And Mason Rudolph would come into the game. Haven't heard that name in a while. He would come in and help lead the Titans to their first victory. And the Detroit Lions, the other Monday night game, taking down the Seattle Seahawks, as Jared Goff would set an NFL record, completing all 18 of his passes in the Lions 42-29 victory. Chiefs beat the Chargers, 49ers beat the Patriots, Texans would beat the Jaguars, and the Buccaneers would beat the Philadelphia Eagles. So those are all the scores from last week. Moving on to tonight's games, we'll go through our picks here as, again, Jets-Vikings. Vikings up 10 here, 8:46 left to go in the second. They are currently driving. Aaron Rodgers looking a little rusty over there with two early interceptions. Panthers-Bears at 1 o'clock to start off the 1 o'clock games. In this one, I'm thinking as good as the Panthers have been playing under Andy Dalton, I still think the Bears are the better team, have the better roster. I'm going to go Bears in this one to get the victory. Ravens-Bengals, this is a real tough pick because the Bengals, albeit are sitting at 1-3, but have had some games where they looked very good. You know, the lowly Carolina Panthers aren't necessarily the game to look at and say, wow, this team is playing really good, because you should be playing good against the Panthers. But they played the Chiefs tough. They played the Commanders tough. I still think Ravens get it done here. The Bengals struggle at defending the run. And after the last 2 weeks facing the Cowboys and the Bills, the Ravens have started to realize, oh, hey, we signed a 6'4", 200-something pound running back. Maybe we should pound the rock a little bit and get this running game going, as Derrick Henry has kind of exploded after a bit of a patient first couple of weeks here, as the Baltimore Ravens have looked better and better each week after starting the season 0-2. I'm taking Baltimore to win on the road here in Cincinnati. Dolphins-Patriots, this should be a real toilet bowl matchup. I don't really know who to pick here. In Foxborough at Gillette Stadium, Patriots haven't looked bad either. They have had some tight wins. They were able to beat the Bengals in week one, and they've had some tough matchups. They took the Seahawks to overtime. They've been playing decent football. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a close game against the 49ers, but they hung in there, threw 16 points on the board. And with the amount of injuries that this Dolphins team has and the way that they have seemed to be unable to get anything going without Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, I'm going to take the Patriots to get a win at home today at 1 o'clock, as this Dolphins team is really just finding themselves in a rough spot. And I'm not even sure if Tua Tagovailoa were to decide to come back and return this season, it might be too late at that point, because this team is not doing him any favors. They're not getting the job done with any backup quarterbacks. Haven't been able to get a win since week one. And yeah, I'm going Patriots to win this one at home against Miami. Browns Commanders, like I said, Jaden Daniels has looked phenomenal so far this season, completing pretty much 80% of all of his passes. He's looking like the real deal. He's the guy that a lot of people expected Caleb Williams was going to be coming in to his rookie season. And I still think Caleb Williams is going to have a fantastic career. But Jaden Daniels has emerged real quick as a rookie of the year candidate, as the best quarterback in the class. It's all still said to be done, you know, at the end of their careers. But right now, Jaden Daniels is the real deal leading this Commanders offense. And for that reason, at home, I'm taking Washington to beat Cleveland and advance to 4-1 on the season. Jeez, if you told me that Washington would be leading the NFC East division this early on in the season, I think that they have a chance to win the whole thing, win the whole division at this point. But we'll see how the season unfolds for them. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, by far the real deal, and it's showing, you know, why he was taken second overall by Washington in this past year's NFL draft. Couple more 1 o'clock games here. Colts and Jaguars. I'm taking Colts in this one. Jaguars just have not looked good. They played the Texans tough last week. CJ Stroud needed a late touchdown to get the lead and the win in that one, 24-20. But I still think, despite it being at home, the Jaguars are going to struggle. Colts, Joe Flacco under quarterback. Maybe we'll see a bit more of a patient offense, less risks being taken, probably some, you know, dink and dunk, short plays, quick check routes. And I think that's going to be all the Colts need to do to get themselves a victory. You obviously still have Jonathan Taylor on the injured list. I'm not sure if it's been announced yet whether or not he's actually going to be playing, but you know, we all saw he tweaked that ankle that he had surgery on last season in last week's game against the Steelers. And let's see, it looks like Jonathan Taylor is not going to be playing today. So that certainly changes things. A lot of players on the injured list, including DeForest Buckner, Quiddy Pay, a few others for the Colts, Kenny Moore, but that makes this definitely a tougher pick. I still think the Colts are going to find a way to get it done. The Jaguars just have not looked good whatsoever throughout this season, and I don't expect them to magically fix things overnight. One good news for the Jacksonville Jaguars is Brian Thomas Jr. is starting to really emerge as a top young wide receiver in this game. He's already at 275 yards, 2 touchdowns on the season after a real quiet first couple weeks. He's starting to find his way and find his footing in the NFL. So Jaguars, I think this will be a tight one, but I'm thinking the Colts are going to edge this one out and escape with a victory in Jacksonville. The last 1 o'clock game here, Bills at Texans in Houston. This is probably the best 1 o'clock game, I would say, looking at all the other matchups. Ravens Bengals up there too, but this is going to be the game to really tune into and key in on, as both teams 3-1 coming into this game. Bills coming off a tough loss to the Ravens. Texans narrowly escaping with a victory against Jacksonville. I think the Bills are going to find a way to get their offense back on track. I mean, Houston's only a 1-point favorite in this game, so you know it's going to be a tight one. This is a real tough, tough matchup. Nico Collins for Houston has really started to pave his way as being one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL after a huge week last week. But I'm still going to go Bills to get the win on the road in Houston. I just think Josh Allen is obviously being the more experienced quarterback. He's going to find a way to will his team to victory if he has to. But you never know. This is a real coin flip matchup. It could easily go the Texans' way. But my gut is telling me, coming off a loss, the Bills refuse to lose 2 in a row and are going to come out and try to get off to an early and a fast start in Houston. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games, Raiders Broncos, not a very exciting matchup by any means. And of course, the Raiders without Devontae Adams. I'm going to go Broncos to get their second straight victory in this one. Again, not really a too exciting matchup here, but either way, it's still football. Should still be some exciting plays. I'm going to take Denver to win this one. Bo Nix got his first passing touchdown of the season last week. So we'll see. This Broncos team could be starting to turn a corner. Granted, they did only, you know, beat the New York Jets 10-9. But still, it's some momentum to build off of. And the Raiders, for lack of a better way of saying this, they're not a good football team. They're not good at all. And now you're without your best weapon, Devontae Adams, probably for the rest of the season, because while he's out this week for injury, I'm sure by the time next Sunday rolls around, there will probably be a trade in place for Devontae. So the Raiders not looking like their season is going to get any better throughout the year. I'm going to go Broncos to win this one. Cardinals and Niners. Boy, I tell you what, the Cardinals are an interesting team this season because they have given other teams a lot of trouble. You know, they were tight in a tight matchup with the Bills week one, barely lost that one as the Bills made a late game comeback, blew out the LA Rams 41-10 in week two. And this is when the Rams still had most of their core, you know, Cooper Kupp still out there. You didn't have all these injuries. Obviously, Puka Nacua was out, but still the Rams unable to get anything going against the Cardinals in week two. Then in week three, the Cardinals barely lose to the Lions 20-13. So again, a very tight matchup. They're right there to get that win if they were able to have a couple different plays go their way. And then you get decimated by the Washington Commanders 42-14 last week. So this Cardinals team, while being very talented, has not been able to really find their groove. I'm going to go 49ers in this one. 49ers in a similar situation, 2-2 on the season. Obviously missing a lot of key pieces in guys like Christian McCaffrey. George Kittle is going to be back from what I've heard. He will be playing today. But Jordan Mason obviously has taken a huge role as the team's new starting running back and has ran away with it, almost 500 yards on the season so far already. Juwan Jennings has emerged as a big threat in that offense after his 3-touchdown day last weekend. So I'm going to go 49ers in this one at home. Seems like an easy pick. They're 7-point favorites, but the Cardinals, certainly a talented team that could find themselves in a position to get a victory here. But my gut is still saying 49ers. Packers-Rams at 425. Rams at home here. I think this is should be an easy win for the Packers. The Rams are beat up. They're defeated. Matthew Stafford is doing all he can out there. But yeah, Green Bay, 3-point favorites in this one on the road. I'm taking Green Bay all the way. Giants at Seattle against the Seahawks. Seattle 7-point favorites here. Listen, I was saying a lot of good things about the Giants, about their matchup against the Cowboys last week. They played them tough, but they got to get the running game going. And the Cowboys do not have a good run defense, but they were able to stuff Devin Singletary at the line. So one thing's for sure, the Giants got to start working on that run game. And you're without Malik Nabers this week too. So a lot of signs point to the Seahawks getting an easy victory in this one. If I were betting, my gut would say go Seattle at home. They've looked good. They played the Lions tough this past week on Monday night, but the Giants still have some positive things to go into this game thinking about. The O-line has been playing better. Daniel Jones has looked average. You know, he's not going to go out there and look like one of the best QBs in the league, but he hasn't looked like one of the worst either. He's hovering right around that average mark, and that's all you need from him when you're at your full strength. You have Malik Nabers back. Devin Singletary's running the ball a little bit better. Daniel Jones doesn't need to be the hero right now, but this week he might actually have to be the hero because you're without Malik Nabers. The running game was not very good against Dallas, so not sure how good that running game will be today, especially against a Seahawks defense that sure might be a little better at defending the pass than the run, but still a tough defense to face nonetheless. And you're at Seattle, who has one of the best home field advantages across the NFL, one of the hardest stadiums to really play in the NFL. So I'm going to go Seahawks here, but the Giants still with some good things to hold on to going into this game. The Sunday night game, Cowboys-Steelers in Pittsburgh. It's really, really hard for me to put my bias aside because I genuinely think the Steelers are going to win. I'm still going to pick the Cowboys because, as I say, I'm always going to pull for the Cowboys. I'm always going to pick them no matter who they're facing. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So be it. But this Steelers team is tough. And the Cowboys, without Micah Parsons, without DeMarcus Lawrence, Steelers have a beat up O-line that the Cowboys really could have taken advantage of had they, you know, not been losing Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence this week. So, you know, both teams beat up and hurt up front. Cowboys have not been able to get very many big chunk plays. They haven't had more than, I think, 7 rushes of over 10 yards all season, which is down near the bottom of the NFL. And the Steelers, I just think, are the better coach team, have the better defense right now, especially with all the injuries of the Cowboys. Listen, I think this is going to be a tight one. Pittsburgh's only a 2.5-point favorite, but the Steelers will probably win this game. I'm still going to put down for my picks that I'm picking the Cowboys because I will never pick against them unless they're, you know, maybe like 30-point underdogs. But this is probably going to be a sad week for my fellow Cowboys fans out there. But we'll see. Who knows? Maybe Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott and the rest of the Dallas Cowboys will surprise us. In the Thursday night game, which I haven't even touched on yet, Kirk Cousins throws for 509 yards and four touchdowns as the Falcons narrowly able to defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that divisional matchup in overtime, 36-30. In what was a great game, Drake London, 150 yards receiving and a touchdown. Kirk Cousins might be the real deal in Atlanta. When I saw the video of him doing the swag surf after the game, he was grooving. I think he likes being a dirty bird down in Atlanta. Monday night matchup coming up tomorrow, Saints Chiefs at Arrowhead. I'm going Saints all the way. I'm going Chiefs all the way in this one. Saints have not looked like the same team that we saw in the first 2 weeks compared to the last two. And I think the Chiefs, who are 6-point favorites in this one, get the win pretty easily. So we'll see how those picks end up doing for me when we return next Sunday for more of the Hot Seat. Coming up next, right here on the Hot Seat, we'll have the hottest headlines of the week for you. A little bit late today. We ran a little bit long, but that's okay. We'll get the hottest headlines of the week for you coming up soon. It's a lot of college football. Just going to warn you now. It's a lot of college football because there was a crazy amount of upsets last night in the college football world. Stay tuned. More of the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks coming up next here on 104.5 The Team and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the Hot Seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give
love a bad name. And we are back here with more of the Hot Seat with your host on every Sunday morning, normally 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Today, 10 to 11 a.m. as we've got Buffalo Bills football coming here for you. Pregame starting at 11 as Bills will take on the Houston Texans starting at 1 o'clock kickoff. Should be a great matchup there. We just talked a little bit about that. And you know what time it is. It is a little bit late today. You know, normally we try to do these hottest headlines of the week around 10:40, 10:45. But nonetheless, it is still time for the hottest headlines of the week. And as I prefaced the last segment with, it's a lot of college football because yesterday was absolutely ridiculous across the board when it comes to college football. We'll run through the scores here real quick. A lot of upsets. Arkansas takes down number 4 Tennessee 19-14 after finding themselves in a hole 14-10. It was 14-3 late in the third, able to score 9 unanswered in the fourth quarter and take the victory 19-14 as the fans naturally stormed the field after hanging on to win that one. It was Miami, who was down 25 at one point versus Cal Berkeley, and they were able to rally to remain unbeaten and get the victory 39-38. Cam Ward with a great fourth quarter as the Hurricanes able to score the final 21 points, in the game, connecting with Elijah Arroyo on a 5-yard game-winning touchdown with only 26 seconds left. Ashton Jeanty, the star running back for Boise State, turns 13 carries into 186 yards in just the first half. 3 touchdowns to go with that as well. He was benched the whole entire second half because Boise State was up huge against Utah State. They would win this one 62-30. As Ashton Jeanty, in only 5 games, has already surpassed 1,000 rushing yards on the season on just his 90th carry total, as he's currently averaging 10.9 yards per carry for the 4-1 Boise State Broncos. He has a chance not only to win the Heisman, which he's obviously the favorite right now, he is on pace to potentially break Barry Sanders' record-breaking 1988 season, as Barry Sanders had 1,002 yards on 130 carries through the first five games of his Heisman-winning season at Oklahoma State. He went on to finish with 2,628 yards and 37 touchdowns. So as I mentioned, Ashton Jeanty right now already has eclipsed over 1,000 yards. He had 1,031 yards. And let's see, he currently has on the season to go alongside though that 1,031 yards. He has 16 touchdowns in only five games, averaging 10.9 per carry. I mean, this kid is a generational running back. Now, I've never been one for taking running backs that early in the NFL draft because they're really a dime a dozen. You can get them anywhere. But this kid is a generational talent that you should seriously consider taking with the number one pick in the NFL draft if you have a need at running back. This guy is going to be legit, and there's no telling what his pro career could look like. This is what a generational running back looks like in college football. The biggest story coming out of college football this weekend, obviously, the Vanderbilt Commodores. The fans dancing on the field, jumping up and down, tearing down the goalpost after defeating number one Alabama 40-35. This would be Vanderbilt's first ever win against a top five team. And the Commodores, the fans went absolutely nuts, tore down the goalpost. And when I tell you, they carried this goalpost 3 miles and then threw it into the river, I'm being dead serious. They quite literally took the goalpost, ran it 3 miles, and tossed it in the river after defeating Alabama. What an absolutely insane game. It's the second largest upset of the season, as they were 22.5-point underdogs in this one. The only bigger upset was Northern Illinois, who was 28.5-point underdogs against Notre Dame earlier this season. And for Vandy, it was the seventh biggest upset in SEC play since 1978. So Alabama, a week after taking down Georgia and being named the number one team in the nation, gets upset by Vanderbilt in what is obviously one of the biggest upsets of the season, one of the biggest upsets in Vanderbilt history, and just a ridiculous aftermath, throwing the goalpost into the Cumberland River. Absolutely ridiculous stuff coming out of Vanderbilt and Alabama. All right, before we put the wraps on this Sunday edition of the Hot Seat, I did get a win in fantasy. I did it. I got a win. It finally happened. Yes, thank you. Thank you. We are 1-3 on the season now. We're still in it. I'm off to a good start. Vikings defense, 21 points in the first half here. Just need them to hold on, and I could potentially win back-to-back games here. Fingers crossed, folks. All right, thank you for tuning in for this Sunday edition of The Hot Seat. Be sure to tune in next Sunday back at our usual time slot at 11 a.m. till 12 noon. And be sure to stay tuned. Don't flip that channel, because Buffalo Bills football is coming up next right here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good one. Vinny Fredericks here from The Hot Seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of The Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team.